Lord, we just thank you this morning for your presence, Father. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you for, Lord, refreshing us, Lord, encouraging us, strengthening us today. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. On Friday night, we had an incredible opportunity again to reach out in downtown Canton. And Mike, if you want to come. But it was just so amazing to see. I thought that there would be more people there because of the Hall of Fame, but there wasn't a ton. But it was just so amazing to see so many people coming and receiving words. And there were two things that stood out to me, and one is that there was a young woman who knows Jamie somehow, and she's come multiple times down there, like Isabella, her name's Isabella, and specifically sought us out, because one time somebody gave her a word, and it so blessed her, and then her mom, Jamie did, and it really blessed her. So, yeah, at First Friday. Okay, so she had a real connection with Jamie. Like, she's brought her mother down to receive a prophetic word. I had a chance to draw for her. And then on Friday night, she brought somebody else. And it was just so cool that we have such a presence there that literally other people are bringing other people to downtown Canton, not only to experience First Friday, but to specifically find us because of just, you know, hearing the Lord and hearing his heart. So Michael has something else as well to share that was awesome that happened.
Thank you. First Friday, so, like, there was a woman that came up to me, and obviously, like, she was like, here's my granddaughter. You could draw a picture for her, but I asked, like, if she wanted a picture, too, so she was like, okay, sure. So I'm drawing this picture. It's basically, like, just, like, a dirt road path. And, like, at the end of the road path is, like, basically, like, a treasure. And, like, throughout the entire, like, road path, they're just, like, ditches and, like, holes just to represent, like, all the struggles and hardships that she's been going on through her life. As I was basically, like, explaining this to her, like, I'm starting to notice, like, her eyes are just, like, getting, like, really glossy and just, she's not crying, but it's, like, on the verge of crying, and she just kept, like, repeating to me, like, you have no idea how accurate, like, you're like, explaining this to me. She later on, like, elaborated that there were many multiple cases where she actually was clinically dead, and it was obviously by the grace of God that she got risen back to life. One in particular instance is she told me that, like, there was, like, one day where she just collapsed. She was admitted into the hospital, and when they were doing open-heart surgery on her, they realized that her heart actually, like, burst. And basically, like, when the doctors, like, saw this, they were just rushing as fast as they can just to, like, try to, like, sew the heart back together. But in their mind, they realized, like, this woman is... she's dead. Like, I mean, we're doing our absolute best, but after this entire surgery, like, they were convinced that she's not going to make it. Obviously, she did, and when she did make it, the doctors basically told her that she basically has, like, a 6% chance of life, and with the God that we serve, obviously, 6% is more than enough for her, so... When she got, like, out of that incident, there was also, like, another incident where her ex, she was in an abusive relationship with her ex-husband. And basically, she didn't go into, like, extreme details, but she informed me, like, her respiratory system, I don't know if it was, like, her trachea or her lungs, but something happened. There was an incident, and she ended up obviously going back into the hospital to have like another major surgery with that. And during that surgery, she also died again, but God brought her back to life. And when she was like basically like recovering in the hospital bed, she just like obviously started contemplating about her life and like what the legacy that she's going to leave behind, because death experiences tend to do that. So she was in the hospital bed, and she just kept thinking about basically all the gifts that God has given her that at that particular moment in time she's basically wasted. And she just kept bringing up the parable of, I think the talents, where like God blesses somebody with five, another one with three, another one with one. And she was convinced that God blessed her basically with like seven talents. And all talents, like, she basically has been wasting, like, until that particular moment in time. So she basically decided that she was going to do something about that. When I was talking to her, I noticed she even revealed it to herself. Like, she's just, like, a very quiet, soft-spoken type of woman who just absolutely despised public speaking. She would do, like, anything, like, to try to avoid it. But, yeah, she decided to go back to school. And in order, obviously, like, to get her degree, one of the classes she had to take was public speaking. So reluctantly, she ended up just having to take it just to, like, get it over with. And there was, like, one particular assignment where her teacher basically just told the classmates, like, hey, guys, just come up here, talk a little bit about yourself. And she starts walking up, you know, her heart's, like, pounding, obviously. She's nervous. But she ends up just revealing about all the incidents where she, like, almost died. Well, she did die. And she was basically just talking about how good God is to just, like, bring her back to life and just give her another chance. And as she's preaching, you know, she's starting to cry. Classmates are, like, starting to cry. And like, it was just, like, a really powerful moment until, like, at the end where the professor basically, like, went up to her and told her, like, not only was that, like, the best public speech, about somebody's life ever, but the professor later on revealed to her, like, there are, like, very few people in the world who could, like, capture an audience in a certain topic, like, from beginning to end, and she had that special quality. So the one thing that the enemy basically, like, tried to, like, keep her down, and that was, like, to stay quiet and be reserved and keep to yourself, it's actually one of the talents that God used in her. And, like, she's now actually, she not only, like, graduated, like, with her bachelor's, her master's, she has, like, her own job. She own business. She's, like, a CEO. And she basically, like, speaks to conferences, I think around Canton, based on, like, her testimonies and how God was, like, able to, like, save her. So it was just, like, a real blessing knowing that I was there, drawing, like, a picture for her. But, like, really, after, like, the testimony that she shared with me, I felt like I was the one who was leaving blessed. So it was really awesome.
That is awesome. So I think the moral of that story would be, come down to First Friday to give, and you will receive. So then you can give again. So, September 5th. It's the next First Friday. And we only have two more with the outdoor booths, and then we go back to the treasure hunt. But here's Cynthia.
And now an international speaker who has spoken all over the world, fresh off the mission field, Troy Larson! Woo!
Hilarious. Well, I'm going to try this ear mic, and I'm not going to do well with this stand, I don't think. I brought my big Bible today. How are we doing on that echo, 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 echo? Scoot back a little bit. That'll solve it. It might help. Echo. My name is Troy, and I echo a lot. I can use the handheld if you want. I just use my hands a lot, so I thought I could be free, but should I go to the handheld?
No, we want to see those hands.
You want to see my hands? They go flying. true funny story that my wife's gone, right? I'm pretty coordinated. I play a lot of sports and all that, but basketball, soccer, and, you know, captain of those when I was a senior and all that. But when we were dating, it took me the longest time to not knock her when I put my arm around her with my elbow. And then coming back across, I'd get her on the way back, too. So really, I'm coordinated, but it just didn't translate into that realm. So there's a lot of grace. And if you think she was a battered woman for a short period of time just from that. But I learned how not to do that. She helped me. So are we better? Much better? Getting there? Well, I'll start, and then we'll probably end up switching because this thing doesn't seem like it wants to cooperate. This past week, as you know, as Cynthia said, a number of us just got back from Mozambique. And it was an awesome trip. It was amazing. And so some of the things that we were sharing, it was just neat what God did there. And I just wanted to share something the Lord was speaking to Don Markley, who's not here this morning, but something that he wrote down as we were testifying last week. At the time, we were talking about our land that we own. We own about 12 acres on the oceanfront in Mozambique. And so we were sharing about that, and we were showing a picture of the marker post there. And he said that he was watching the video, and he said, you know, looking at the post, the surveying post, and he said he felt like there was more that the Lord was speaking to him about. And he said, more what? And he said, the surveying post means more than ownership. It means look what God has done as just a marker and a testimony. And he said that, like when God parted the Red Sea and told them to go over and to take stone, well, actually it was the Jordan, to go over and take stones as a reminder. And then he went on to say, while I was sharing about the fact that we actually had four different continents represented by our team. We had Pastor Jose from Mozambique, the continent of Africa, or the country of Mozambique. We had Joe Kabecki from Brazil, representing South America. We had our team of 11 from the U.S. here, North America. And then we had Tanya from Indonesia. And, woo, for Tanya. And representing Asia. And that four continents were represented on the team. And he said that as we were sharing about that, he just said he felt like the Lord spoke to him, said, you haven't seen anything yet. And he said, and then about the land, he said, you know, that it will be a place of peace. And then he shares about a book where about the stones of remembrance. And so just to refresh that, when Joshua was crossing over into the promised land, finally after the Israelites did the 40 years around the never-ending circular go around the mountain thing that was 40 years. The ark was standing in the middle of it, and the Lord told him to have one person from each of the 12 tribes of Israel take a stone, and they carried it across, and they set up an altar. And it was to be a memorial. It was to be an altar of remembrance, to remember what God had done, how God had brought them from Egypt, had brought them out of the wilderness, and had finally brought them through dry land yet again into the promised land as a sign and a testimony, as a memorial to what the Lord had done. And so as I was thinking about that, it's been a real strong message in my life where God has constantly taken me back to remember what the Lord has done, look and see what the Lord has done, and then let that build on to the future. And I was looking to it, the Lord was just highlighting to me David and Goliath, and we all know about David and Goliath. It's a very familiar story, account, but that David, you know, he went there and he said, who is this Goliath that would defy the armies of the living God? And the people were like, oh, shut up, you're just a little sheep boy, you know, you're just my little brother, be quiet, go home, you know, to those couple sheep out in the hills. And David just was still, he was offended at what Goliath was saying, and he knew who his God was. And so finally it brings him where he's before Saul, and he gets before Saul, and Saul's like, you know, how are you going to fight this Philistine? And he said, you know, here's what's happened. I have taken on the lion and I have overcome. I have taken on the bear and I have overcome. Who is this ungodly Philistine? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that I can't overcome and take him? And so Saul's like, okay, I recognize anointing. I recognize the move of God. Okay. And so Saul, in his strength, says, okay, well, I'll give you my armor. I'll let you put that on. and do that so you can go fight him. And David puts on the armor, and it says that, you know, we thought about, you know, dressing one of my kids up in my shoes and outfit and, you know, stethoscope and give him all that and then let him try to walk, maybe show a video, but I'll tell you about the idea. It's a lot easier to do that way. But, yeah, it's just, he's like, it's unproven. I've not proven it. I've not tested it. I can't even walk in it, really. And one of the things the Lord was speaking to me about that is just that it's, you know, he was accomplishing the purpose of God of what needed to happen, but that he wasn't necessarily doing that through the way that someone else would do that, that each of us are unique as we, each of us have unique testimonies, each of us have unique stories to our lives and what God's done. And so how we may conquer a situation or a problem may look different, but in the end, it's the Lord doing it. It's the testimony of the Lord, and he's the one that does that. And so David did that through, with the slingshot. And then if he'd had the sword, he probably would have chopped Goliath's head off with Saul's sword. But instead, he chopped Saul's head off chopped Goliath's head off with Goliath's sword. And so just taking the enemy and really taking what the enemy's used to bring death and destruction and really turning that around and removing, cutting off the head of the enemy. And we sing that song about how the enemy is, you know, he's our bread and he's our poor, you know, that we cut off the giant's head. You know, we eat giants for our bread. And so just, I don't know, it's kind of cool how God works through each of us uniquely, but there's that testimony of what he's done that we don't forget what he's done. And so I'm not trying to play Andy this morning. Andy tends to talk a little bit about the history of things and the testimonies, but there's a massive testimony of what God's done in my life, in this ministry, and in the world. So, in Proverbs 29:18, very familiar verse, says, "Where there is no revelation," or in other words, where there's no prophetic insight, prophetic vision, or where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. And I was looking at that, and there are just a couple of different versions looking at it. In the Message, it says, "If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed." I think I'll repeat that. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And in the Amplified, it talks about blessed but happy. It says, blessed, fortunate, and enviable. That we're people that are blessed, fortunate, and enviable when we're walking in that prophetic vision that the Lord has. And so I was, even as we were singing songs this morning, the one song was called Under the Blood. How many people remember that song from a couple years ago? There's a few of us. I think it was 2001. We were heading to, as I recall, we were heading to England to go to a Reinhard Bonnke crusade. Then we were heading to Ghana for another, 6 weeks. Yeah, that would have been 2001. Does that sound right? And as a team, we learned this song. Oh, the blood of the Passover lamb is applied to the door of my life. No power of darkness could ever withstand the force of the blood sacrifice. Though Satan will bring accusations, I let him know right where I stand. For now there is no condemnation. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. And in the bridge it says, I'm safe and secure from the enemy's plan. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I just, oh my gosh, as I was just hearing, singing that song again, and I don't believe we brought that out of we dusted that one off this morning. It was dusted to find that one. That was not, that PowerPoint, it was, they probably rewrote the PowerPoint. It's back there, you know. Quite a ways, but as I heard that, it just brought back those memories and that recollection of what God did on that trip, and it was amazing, because when we were in Doncaster, England, going to this, what was supposed to be Reinhard Bonnke's crusade, but for the first time in forever, he was sick, and his next guy down, I think his name was Peter, came in and did the conference and the crusade they were having, and then prayed, you know, afterwards, gathered with our whole team, prayed for our whole team. But it was at that time that Josh, along with Pastor Mary Pat, had a vision of what you guys see up here on a Sunday morning. Had a vision. At that time, it was back in the beginning. It was Josh and Christy and Pastor Bill. In 2001, Carl, I don't know if we quite had Carl on the keys yet. I think it was just, we had two guitars and someone singing a cappella in a house over in Jackson. And so the vision was given as we saw this big worship set up there, and the Lord just spoke to Josh and Pastor Mary Pat, this, you're going to have this. And so just looking up here and seeing the worship this morning, you're going to have this full setup, you know, the bass, the electric, all the, you know, instruments and everything, and just how God has been faithful in that vision. And so I was kind of going down some memory lane with that song, but to where what we're sitting in, where that came from, just in terms of vision and stuff, is small little Bible study over in Jackson here, meeting in the family room at the Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat's house, that was just teenagers. When I first came, there were maybe a dozen. I think there were 12 teenagers. I was, and a couple of us that were older were part of the dozen. And so they had five kids, so there were only like seven non-family members present at that time. And so it was just a really small crowd, but the anointing on worship and what God was releasing. And at that time, Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat were both school teachers, teaching in the school system. And then to see as God just kept increasing and increasing. And so that little Bible study at one point was swelling 70, 80 people from all sorts of different churches at times. And, you know, it started taking trips to the nations in 96, going to Jamaica in the first year, Guatemala in 97, India in 98. And then the Lord led us to go without another missions group as a covering to Ghana, West Africa for the first time in 1999. And we're still in Ghana today. We own land in Ghana today. We have got a building and a well and stuff that God's developing in Ghana today. And we're still partnered with Pastor Samuel Gwakapum of Life Christian Center from 1999. And actually, it was on 1998 when we met him on an airplane. And God just connected hearts. And it's amazing how God does that. And so bringing that into the 2000s, 2001, and just the revelations of memorizing that song, you know, oh, the blood of the Passover lamb. And my wife will probably remember all these things better than me, but and a few others. But, you know, there are so many revelations in the Spirit that God gave year by year through the ministry. And so we all know about the power of the blood of the lamb, but that year there was a lot of release about how powerful and how amazing the blood of Jesus is, how much he really did for us, what that signified, what that sacrifice did. And so and I remember just being in the Word, learning verses, memorizing scriptures on healing, where there's just a revelation of healing. I didn't grow up knowing much about healing, and, got baptized in the Spirit in 97, right before I went on my first trip with Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, and so I didn't even know that they were into Holy Spirit things. It happened totally separate, just God's way of doing it in a little ex-Mennonite church in southern Ohio, in the middle of nowhere. And, God just filled me with his Spirit and just did that, knowing what was going to happen, knowing what he was doing. And I didn't know I was connected with these crazy people that were already into this stuff. And I had no idea. And so that summer, I saw my first, really started beginning to see people accept the Lord, really started, saw my first healing, physical healing. And it was the one that I really remember is in Guatemala. And it was this guy who couldn't close his hands because he tried to kill himself. And the effects of the poison, and he'd fallen and he'd cut some nerves and tendons and things. And so this little punk 15-year-old kid named Josh Ripple, who was, and I use the word punk he was a stretch. You're constantly trying to rein the guy in, and just kind of, it was difficult to deal with. I was his leader in the small group of going out in ministry, and he was not easy to lead. And so we have this amazing thing. These people are coming up, getting saved. This guy accepts the Lord with our group, and then he's sharing about his hands. And Josh says, well, let's pray for healing. I'm like, great idea. Good idea, Josh. You had one. Great. No, I bless him. I really do. Wherever he's at, I hope he's continuing on in this vein. But I was like, that's a great, you just hold on 1 second. I went over and I got Pastor Mary Pat. I ran over and said, hey, there's a guy who needs healing over here. Come and pray with us? Because I didn't even really know what I was doing at all. I mean, at all, didn't know what I was doing. So she comes over, and we just, short, simple prayer. We all held hands or laid hands on him. Gets done, and he just closes his hand and starts crying. He's just weeping. And we give him the microphone, and we have a picture somewhere in the archives of him holding a microphone, testifying with his other hand raised in a fist. And he is just testifying to his healing, and just tears are streaming down his face. Remember that, Chrissy? On that trip? Oh, on that stage. I mean, this amphitheater, God gave us such favor on this trip. That's a whole long story. It never should have happened the way it did, except God was doing it. And it was really out of response of what Pastor Will and Pastor Mary Pat, in their hearts and before the Lord and listening to the Holy Spirit, led us through this crazy navigation where we ended up in the best ministry sites with the best drug addicts and the best drunks and the best glass across the ground and to do drama and roll in. I mean, it was the best of everything. We got the best. We were just, I mean, it was crazy favor. We talked about it years later, and Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat said the other teams were kind of like, how do you, these guys keep ending up where there's all this amazing, we get into this Catholic school, and literally 500 Catholic students come to the Lord in two separate days through this act of God of what was going on in the situation that had just happened, an event that had just happened in a loss of a life in the school. And all these guys, it's fresh and raw, and they all come to the Lord. And we got put there right at that time to be a part of that. And I just remember so many things. I don't want to get stuck on that trip forever. It was an awesome trip. But just the revelation of, so that guy got healed, and just, God, you heal. You're Jehovah Jireh. Well, God, you know, the power of your blood. And so in 2001, just the power of the blood. 2002, the end of 2002, I'll be honest. I know God loves me. I know Father God's good, and he loves me. And I know he's happy. But I was really upset when everyone got happy at the end of 2002. It kind of broke my theological box. We had all these people laughing and so full of joy of the Holy Spirit. And God loves me, and he likes me. And Father God, the heart of the Father, and I mean, and my wife's all happy too. And at that time, I just liked her and was praying about that. And, you know, it was in that 4-year period where I thought God had spoken to me about her. And I had a rough bump there for a second. Like, oh my gosh, she's like, woo! Literally, she's like shaking and whatever. And my, I'm just being honest, this has never been shared before that I'm aware of. Any of this.
We're videotaping.
Praise God. Love you. So it was amazing how the different streams of who God is and the different rivers of what's out in the body of Christ, how God just kept weaving all this stuff in form where Frontline is. We're like River, Word, Faith, Pentecostal, Charismatic, something, something, something. I just tell people non-denominational, follow the Bible, whatever Jesus said. I believe it, we do it. But it's all these different titles. We just kind of grabbed all sorts of lovely, wonderful truths out of the Word of God. And, you know, it took me till somewhere in 2003 till I really got happy about everything. And got, you know, more of a revelation of, God, you're happy. It's okay for us to be happy. I'm allowed to be happy as a believer. That's great. You know, it's not just in weeping and crying and, you know, sad, happy tears. It's, you know, being happy. It was a struggle, I have to tell you. Lots of inner healing to the point of, you know, God even releasing, a couple of different visions where he showed me. It's so true. It's 2002, the end. That was such a struggle. I was like, what's going on? It was just normal. We were into the Word and in the blood, and now we're into joy and happiness, and what is this? And Father loves me. I know that, but why? Why are you crying? Who's Jack Frost? So, for who doesn't know what some of these are, some great art, you know, archives of just Jack Frost and inner healing. And I was like, it's all done at the cross under the blood. I just learned the blood. And they're like, well, there's more. Letting the blood really change you and change your life and your beliefs and how you think. And so through in, you know, 2002, 2003 is where that, and we connected into Mozambique, and we connect with Pastor Jose, and literally Carl and Andy and Pastor Jose connected, and they were on the ground. and Pastor Mary Pat. Yeah, the three of them with Pastor Jose. And they're just on the ground in the joy. You know, Lawrence is twitching for the first time saying, I twitched. And, oh, you didn't tell anyone that? Okay, Andy saw it. But Lawrence came up and told me, because at that time, that really wasn't in my experience either. And so he felt it was safe to tell me, I twitched. And I was like, praise God. It's great. Great. To where it's just funny because, you know, Spirit of God, why wouldn't we feel the presence of God when he's moving? Why wouldn't, you know, I feel him when I'm repenting. I feel him when I'm sad. I feel him when I'm, you know, things are going on. Why wouldn't he? Just sharing some of my road. I'm a much happier person now. I really am. I was always, like, optimistic and carefree, but, man, when God really showed me more of just his heart and just the way Father God loves us so much, and it's he's all about us, and he loves me enough to let me get happy, and he loves me enough to, you know, just go out with crazy people into the bush and see what happens. I mean, more people get saved when you're happy. It's crazy. Something about the anointing on that. That was a... You know, just seeing, you know, through the years, just seeing God drawing in the prophetic and Patricia King and into this ministry, a lot of teaching and training there. And yet all these aspects that we had, but then just really going in deeper in these streams and just harvesting, and always going back to the Word of God. Always, you know, one of the things I love about Patricia King is here's the Word, and you're just like, oh my gosh, new creation realities. Word like scripture to scripture to scripture. It's a good thing to listen to. I think it's still in our Genesis class for anyone who's newer to the church, that new creation realities. But that's been the heart of Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, is be in the Spirit and be in the Word and then go out and just, you know, tear it up in the kingdom. And so it's been fun. So really it's kingdom, all these different streams and whatever, just bring it all into kingdom, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. There's no tears in heaven. There's no sad down people who are just struggling for, you know, in general, all their days in heaven. However, you know, he meets us where we're at, and there's a joy that even in the midst of great trials, God has that joy for us. Like when, you know, my mom passed away unexpectedly, it was an amazing, I mean, I cried a lot, but in that, it was just this amazing grace from the Lord. Like, I knew exactly where she was at. I knew he was good. I knew he was going to take care of our family. He was just good. And he was so faithful in that. And even, you know, it was on Mother's Day, just 2 months after that, that we found out we were pregnant with Isaac. And, you know, and just to have that happen, you know, on that day, we weren't planning it or anything. And, you know, Mother's Day and all that. But to find that out, just the grace of God in that, and just so faithful in all these things. So through this fun, you know, history, I was just, you know, reminiscing about some of that. And even as we were doing the blood of the Passover lamb. And as Pastor Bill says, now that, you know, none of this was part of what I was going to say, I could start. No. But we were talking in Mozambique a little bit in our, I think it was just the guys at the moment that we were talking about, Andy, Jordan, Spencer, and I, talking about, you know, the visions God has in our hearts and our lives to fulfill the things he's put in place in our hearts. And one of the things we were talking about is how within that there's, you know, corporate vision of the body of Christ. There's corporate vision within our local body, you know, obviously here at Frontline Worship Center. And it was just talking about how what God has done and how my vision and what I thought was, you know, my vision, and it's about like this. And what I'm living out right now, I feel is like this. It's huge. It's way bigger than I ever thought. It's still the things and that God had put in my heart, but it's just blown up. It's exponentially increased. And so what we were talking about in that group is just how as we come, you know, into, Lord, what are you doing in the body? Where do you have me connected? What are you doing? That doesn't decrease our vision. It actually exponentially increases our vision to step into things we'd never step into. I'd still be a cry, you know, occasionally crying. I don't cry often, but occasionally crying person when I'm repenting who's not nearly as happy, and I brought the echo back. I brought the echo back to the mic. And yet now just so much more revelation about Father's heart, so much more revelation about his, you know, continued work in my life to heal and also being able to release that, so much more revelation about the joy of the Lord and just enjoying that. So fun. So, you know, and I don't know why I put this here. I don't know how it ties in. But anyways, So last week we talked a little bit about just seeing from the Lord's perspective. Andy and I did. We were talking about on our land when we were standing up on the sand dune. Andy and I were able to look out and we saw these whales. And we saw the water spout come up. And then at the end of our time, I was looking out and I actually saw a whale come up and breach and, you know, slap down twice. And I think there were two different whales there. And what we were talking about, one of the things the Lord was showing me about that is when I went down to tell the rest of the team that was down at the ocean, hey, there's a whale only 300 yards right over here. None of them could see it. I couldn't see them because it was through the waves and my perspective was just right at what's coming right in front of me. And that's where, you know, vision really helps us in knowing the vision, what God's doing in our heart and lives, but also knowing, having that perspective to see the bigger picture. It really helps us to be able to see it. And so when we have that perspective, we're able to see things in a different way and we can know which way to go. Because if I just said there's whales out here, you know, 300 yards, they could have started swimming out there that way. But a short while later when I was looking, they were actually clear over here. So they would have totally missed the whales if they'd gone swimming off of, you know, from that place of the natural being able to just, you know, well, they were over here. But actually that living relationship with the Lord. So it's fun. I just think it's cool about the vision and that where there's no revelation, no vision, no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But happy, fortunate, blessed, enviable is he who keeps the law. So then I kind of briefly wanted to jump into Hosea 4. Hosea. Somewhere, little book. I'll just do it on my phone. It's quicker. So Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. I'm just touching here for a quick moment. And he just says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. And it goes on, it says, you know, they're gonna not be satisfied and not eat and all that fun stuff. But one of the thing I really want to highlight from this verse is that it was knowledge, and we think of knowledge, we think of head knowledge, we know something. But actually, in the Hebrew, when it was looking at this word knowledge, it was actually saying that it's talking about this intimate knowing. It's about a knowing. It's about who we know. It's for not knowing, you know, not knowing him, not being in that good connection, that good relationship, that you know, we run into those struggles. So now, going into the happy side of things and get away from the no food and all that kind of stuff. But in Isaiah 55, blazing through some scriptures today, cruising. You guys want to find that? Isaiah 55. I needed to read this scripture when I was in late 2002. It would have helped me out. Ho! Everyone who thirsts. Ho! Everyone who thirsts. Everyone, anyways. Yep. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And actually at that time, soaking was a revelation too, about resting in God's presence, about listening to God. I'm much better at doing. I'm much better at going out. I tend to have a lot of energy and, you know, like to keep on going and moving and you know, let's go do something for God. And then we introduced this lovely thought that came into the body of Christ about soaking. Like, yeah, I want to soak and lay down and soak. So I'd fall asleep many times. Many times I fell asleep. True confessions from Troy today. I'm just trying not to have to preach for another couple years. So, but I think it might be working. Ho! Jesus. Help me, Lord. You know, as I come up to you, my heart is full today. I feel so full. I feel so fully alive. I feel so good. I feel, I'm not just saying words, I feel refreshed. I feel encouraged. I feel the Spirit of God in this place. I came into worship not as full. You know, there's just so good, just refreshing being in his presence. And so I just feel alive today. I'm excited about this word for us to encourage us. So ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. I'm going to stop there for a second. At First Friday, Annie and I were witnessing to a couple that is sort of a couple, maybe not a couple, I don't know. But we had a picture for him and then talking to him. And as I'm talking to this guy, he's the perfect evangelist, except he doesn't know Jesus. He brings people to church. He says he's pretty sure they know Jesus. He brings them to church. But as I'm talking to him, he's clearly admitting and saying to me, yeah, I don't really know Jesus. I don't have a relationship with him. I don't know him. But I'm bringing people to church. And he's, you know, talking about, you know, but man, if I really receive Jesus, well, man, I'm not going to be able to go out and drink and stuff and, you know, get drunk in the bars with my friends and that my life's going to change. And, you know, I was like, dude, you are missing it. I wouldn't trade what I've got for what you got for anything. I mean, you are in a sad place here, buddy. I mean, you're doing this and yet you're trying to go after the girl that is walking after Jesus. What do you think's the difference? You see something different in her, I'm thinking. Because the other girl is someone that was trying to walk after the Lord that we're aware of. Was expressing that anyways. And so talking with him, and he's like, I don't want to give up all this fun stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, it's I've been having a rough life. Man, it's, you know, I'm married. All the blessings of that. I've got these beautiful wife. I've got these handsome children. It's got a job, you know, I'm paying all my bills, stuff's getting paid off. Yeah. It's pretty rough. And oh, you see that, you know, that Jeep Wrangler over there, that four-door unlimited Wrangler. Yeah. I was never going to buy a new car. The Lord tricked me into buying a new car. I wasn't going to buy it. But he tricked me into it to bless me because I wouldn't do it for myself. So he tricked me into it. So as Levi and I flew to Washington, D.C. to pick up this Jeep, the salesman gets lost going from the airport to the dealership. And he takes the wrong turn. If you take the wrong turn in D.C., it's the three-hour tour kind of thing. You can't get back where you want to go. And so instead of a 10 or 15-minute drive, it was a 50-minute drive to get to the dealership. And I'm like, Lord, this is taking forever. And he's like, so what are you doing about it? So by the time we pull into the dealership, my Jeep's sitting right where Troy is. I'm here. The guy reaches over, takes my hand, and prays and receives Jesus. It's like, oh, I know why you sent me here. I got it. And in the process, you blessed me. I mean, so I'm just testifying this guy about how God's been good and faithful, and it's been such a rough life, you know, following these tough guidelines. Love God with everything. Love your neighbors yourself. And, you know, I said, oh, how's it going for you? I said, wow, you're struggling here, and you're trying to get this, and that's not going so well. And let's see. You have some major hurt and pain in your heart and life. As I told you when I draw the picture for you, and you were agreeing that, yes, there were some major things that you're dealing with. So, wow, how about Jesus? He's like, I'll think on, you know, he wanted to think on it. We talked for a while. It was really good. You know, he wanted to think on it some more. He's not there. I've got his number and trying to get him to come on out and all that. But you'd be praying for him. His name's Scott. But it was interesting that whole, what would I exchange? I don't think I want anything you've got, buddy. Except maybe about 10 years of your strength, but he's a little younger. So listen carefully to me. Eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me here and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, ho, 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 and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. For an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Am I close enough now to fix it? Because that was my text I got. I'm supposed to fix that. So Isaiah 55. All who are thirsty, come and drink. Buy without money. Incline your ear. Listen, hear, and live. Seek him while he may be found. Let the wicked turn from their way, and he will abundantly pardon. He won't not just skate through, not skate by, but it's just so fun. God doesn't throw out abundantly just to throw out the word abundantly. It's abundantly. He's over and above. And that's where he says in Ephesians 3:20, I'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or imagine. He's an exceedingly abundant God. He says, in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, Jesus, have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. He just always goes a step better. I love it. Always goes a step higher. And then he goes into, wrong one. So he says, he talks about, his ways are so much better than our ways, so much higher, so much greater. His thoughts are so much better. And that's what a lot of this soaking, hey, tap into what God's saying. Listen to him. Great idea. Good thing. It wasn't just to catch up on sleep. As there was a season. I just didn't get it. And, but as you come into Revelation, you get it, and then you realize, wow, God, you want to speak to me. You're revealing yourself to me. I can know you. My people are destroyed for lack of knowing me, lack of knowledge of me, of who I am, of my character. And that's where there's a lot of robbery that takes place. Where were we at? Ways are higher. But then, what he says, good, our good, solid in the word, faith background there, it's not going to, his word doesn't go void. It doesn't not produce fruit. He can't not produce fruit in his word going out. Even where the enemy steals things, but as we allow his word to saturate us, as we walk in his word, as we live that out, it's going to produce fruit. As we walk that out, I love it. And then that leads that we will go out with joy. Again, joy. Lots of joy. And be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And it just talks about this changing, the shifting from our ways to his ways. His ways being so much higher. And a little bit more, some of the memorials, the places of remembrance for me. Bore everyone with a lot of things, but basically God has been with me along the way, and being a veterinarian and stepping out into that. I was going to give it all up in 97 when I went on that first mission trip with the Gokies to Guatemala. I came back and I'm like, yes, Jesus, I am going to just, I got accepted into vet school. I was about to start in a couple months. I'm like, forget that. I can just leave that and I'm going to go to Guatemala and I'm going to learn Spanish. I'm going to the language school in Antigua, 3 weeks, I can learn Spanish, and then I will just be on the mission field, right then and there. And that was my thought. And obviously, my pastors were very wise and said, go to Holy Spirit, ask him, talk to him about that. And as I did, and the Lord reminded me, yes, I put you in vet school, I did this, and he reminded me that that was part of my call. But this strong burn for missions was there as something that I knew that he'd put in there, that he'd connected me. And I went through vet school, and that was rough. But every year, the Lord made a way for me to go overseas through vet school. Even when I was supposed to have straight-through clinicals with no time off for a year, still made a way 5 weeks in Africa in the middle of that. God made a way. And then when I graduated, my classmates were all laughing because I was saying I want a job where I get 6 weeks off in the summertime to go do mission work. And they'd laugh at me, and they just said, "How'd that interview go?" I said, "It went great up until I told them about the 6 weeks." They're like, "Yep, that's right," because they don't do that. You're just getting out. You have to pay your dues. You have to put in your time, all that. And but the Lord had put in my heart, you know, that this was the priority, that he'll take care of the rest. And so through a supernatural set of events, connected with the person who hired me, making the same amount of money as my classmates who didn't have a job yet, because I got one before most of them, and with the ability to go overseas for 6 weeks. So I did that the first year, and then the second year, and then the trips actually went to 8 weeks, and the Lord had been speaking to my heart about coming back to this area because I was about an hour and 45 minutes away. And so I went to my boss and said, "Hey, I need 8 weeks this summer." And she said, "I can't do 8 weeks." And I said, "I can't do 6 weeks." And she said, "Well, it's been nice having you work for me." And I said, "It's been nice working for you. I've really enjoyed it." And she's a Christian, and, you know, it just didn't work for her. And I knew the Lord was moving me on anyway, so I lost my job in a couple minutes, and it was great. So I went to Africa for 2 months with those funny people. In 2003, they were so happy, I was still trying to figure it out. very happy. Came back, and no job, just kind of Lord led me to start doing some relief work. That got me into the clinic where I was for the past 10 years, where, you know, I worked for them, and they said, "Come work for us." And I said, "No, I want the freedom to come and go with missions, so I'm just going to fill in at clinics." So a couple weeks later, he calls me up and says, "You know, what days do you have available?" And I said, "What days do you need?" And he said, "Every day you have available." I said, "That works for me." So I got a pay raise on top of the pay raise because I hired in, and then I could have the freedom on 2 weeks of notice, or actually, year before last, I think it was 7 days notice. I said, "Hey, can I go to Brazil in a week?" I'm like, "Hey, that'd be great. See ya." Just the Lord had slowed the clinic down perfectly at that time, and they said, "Go." So a lot of favor there, and just testimony of the Lord in that is he gets your back when you're listening to him and following him. And so in that year of 2004, after I hired in at that clinic, I didn't go overseas for 8 weeks that next year. I actually went overseas for 16 weeks the next year. So I took 2.5 times the 6 weeks, and in the process, I don't know how it happened, but my W-2 was double what it was the year before. So literally, it was double from the year before. And so he takes care of that. So anyway, so I was there for the last 10 years with the favor coming and going, anywhere from 2 to 4 months of the year out of the country, different things, just favor, just God setting that up, his provision. And so go back a couple years. In 2009, I'm in where I was at working in the clinic. I'm reading the newspaper because we used to put newspapers on the surgery tables at that clinic. And I was reading the newspaper while a dog was falling asleep, or a cat, I don't remember which. And I'm reading, and I see a picture of this vet clinic opening up in North Canton. And I'm halfway through the article, and I just hear the Lord say, "You're going to own that clinic." I was like, "Okay." And I don't think I've really shared this testimony corporately about the clinic. So I'm like, "Okay, well," I told Rachel and my parents and the Gokies and her parents, and put it on the shelf. So 2 years go by, and, you know, nothing happened there. I just continued going on mission trips and having children. And, 2 years go by, I'm driving through Belden Village one day. We're leaving for Mozambique again in a couple days. And I hear the Lord say to me, "You need to go stop by this clinic and go see them." And, I mean, they were friends of mine. I kind of knew them. I'd never been in the clinic. I'd never told them anything about this what the Lord spoke to me, nothing like that. I'm just driving through Belden, so I call them up and say, "Hey, I'm in the area. Do you guys mind if I drop in, say hi? Haven't seen you in a long time." And I would just run into them randomly every year or two somewhere. And the Lord had actually used me to help connect him into a place in Akron to work, which then led him to start this clinic in North Canton over the period of time. Longer story shorter. And so I stopped in, you know, got a tour of the clinic for the first time, sat down with them, and they just said, "We're loving our life. We're just loving what we're doing, loving being back in this clinic, and thanks for your part in that process and all that." So I said, "Great, wonderful, bless you." I left, went to Africa, came back, and the doctor passed away 2 days before I got back. He was in a motorcycle accident 2 days before I got back, and you know, and there's some interesting, cool testimonies in there that his wife shared about how God knew that was going to happen and set it up so it would not be a big, you know, more difficult than it was. And so anyways, I filled in a couple days, never said anything. 4 or 5 months go by, I hear from some drug reps that there are people offering to buy the clinic and offering to, you know, oops. That's what happens when you carry the big Bible. Nothing can handle it. It was in my good word faith days. The bigger the Bible, the better the word. I'm still word faith in the sense of the word says it, I believe it. That settles it. Thank you. This is good enough. The Bible will be okay, I think, at this point. It's been through a lot. Our theme verse, you know, for the ministry is Luke 4:18-19. I keep it right in here so that I don't lose it. But, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So Luke 4:18-19, that was supposed to be just 1 year, you know, 1997, the verse for the year, or 1996 when they went to Jamaica, but God said this is a corporate long haul verse, vision, theme verse for the ministry, which is cool. But I got slightly distracted there, didn't I? I was sharing about the clinic testimony and the Bible fell. So back off that bunny trail, we will come back to the clinic. So I heard from some drug representatives that people were offering to buy this clinic. And so I was like, should I, you know, maybe let her know that I'm interested and talk to her and talked and prayed about it with Rachel and felt if I wanted to, I could do that. But we talked to the Lord and especially my wife, she said, no, if the Lord wants to do it, he can do it. He doesn't need us. So I said, okay, Lord, just release it to you. And also in that, she, you know, was planning to keep it for years. She wasn't talking about selling at all, really wanting to. And so I thought, well, Lord, maybe there's something else. Maybe you're talking about buying a clinic. Maybe it wasn't specifically that clinic. And so I checked into some things, and the Lord shut those things down, just checking into it and thought about building and starting a clinic. I realize now that was to give me future vision for what I could do in the future. So anyways, I'm just about ready to go to Africa again. I'm pulled into the parking lot here. Phone call comes in. Answer it, and it's Ginny Weaver, the owner of the clinic. She says, hi, Troy, how's it going? Good, yeah. Hey, I got your letter about Africa, you know, whatever. And, you know, and, hey, I'm thinking about selling my clinic. Do you want to buy it? And so she only called me. She didn't go to the group that offered. She didn't put the offer out there. She called me and said, I want to sell the clinic to you, basically. Obviously, with everything working out with that, and you want to pay the money for it. did have to pay money for it. But she came to me, and then even in that process, it took a whole year till that actually went through, which shouldn't have taken a year, but it's just neat how it kept getting delayed to allow me to have another child. because little Seth came along just at the right time. So last summer in Mozambique, I took my portable office to Mozambique, and so at one crusade in Mamboni, before the crusade, we got the generator going, or maybe it was after, I think it was before. We got the generator going, I've got this plastic picnic table, and I'm sitting in a plastic chair, got the laptop on, I've got my little tiny printer that I brought that can scan and fax and print, and what I needed was to scan, and so I'm signing documents to buy this clinic in Mozambique. At a crusade site as we're about to release the kingdom of God and the word of God and people are about to come into the kingdom, and faxing it off or emailing it off to the U.S. And so in May we had Seth. In July I was in Africa for 3.5 weeks or 3 weeks or so. Came back 2 weeks later, bought a clinic on August 7th, which is this coming Thursday, will be a year. Bought the clinic and praise the Lord. And each step the Lord had set up, and each step was just remembering, God, you did it here before, you're going to do it again. You did it here before, you're speaking this, I see what you're doing, I'm going to just hold on to what you're saying and keep seeing you increase that. And the things, a lot of them have gotten bigger, you know, than what the original testimonies were, but they just kind of keep growing as he grows our faith. And so on August 7th, I closed the business. You know, 8's new beginning, 7's perfection. My first day of business was 8-8. I just love it. I'll take the numbers as prophetically significant. And, you know, new beginnings times 2. And so this year I'll do new beginnings times 2 with working at my clinic and going golfing. So with someone in this congregation who's taking me. But anyways, so when we closed on last August 7th, went out to lunch with said, hey, I told you that there's some things the Lord's been doing. I want to let you know what God's done. And so I told her the testimony, and that's when I finally told her that the Lord spoke to me 4 years before, 4 years in advance, which actually I didn't even think about this. It was 4 years that I waited for my wife too. Huh. That's interesting. Because the Lord spoke to me about Rachel in 2000, and it was 2004 till we started courting. So that's cool. Another story. But the clinic, you know, bought that, took that. It's been, as some of you know, it's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of hard work. It's been a lot of adjustments. It's not all easy. But I've seen the faithfulness of the Lord, and we've done 50% more business per month, every month, since I bought the clinic. And since I, you know, got it up and running, 50% more business than the year before. 50%, I mean, 50% is crazy. And we have people coming from Talmadge. They hear about us from all over the place. People are coming. People are referring to us. All this stuff's happening. And God's blessing. And so we've been able to do a lot of improvements that were needed to expand the clinic, add an exam room, all this stuff. All of it, it's the Lord's made it possible. All of it's been done in cash. All these all these improvements have been done in cash, and just sharing this, not because I'm awesome, it's because he's awesome. He's so awesome. He's so good, and that was we're faithful to, in what he's putting in our hearts, as we're faithful in his kingdom and reaching out. He just can't help abundantly blessing, and he wants to bring that into each of our lives, and so kind of bringing that all in, you know, so that I don't try to be the marathon preacher today. I was going to set a timer, but I didn't. Just to bring it back that, you know, some of these things that God will plant in your heart, the visions that he plants in your heart, they take years to come. Sometimes they're days, sometimes they're weeks, sometimes they're years till they come, but it's entrusting the Lord and putting that before him and saying, Lord, here, it's yours, I give it to you. Lord, you're going to have to grow it, you're going to have to water it, you're going to have to, I'm getting in your presence, I'm going to be about your kingdom, I'm going to be going out and doing the things that you've called me to do, and I'm going to be soaking before you and getting in your presence and just knowing you and keeping that fresh revelation of what you're saying. And recently we had a wealth brunch that was offered to the church here that Lawrence and Cynthia hosted, and periodically we do that with Frontline Training Center, different opportunities in that area, and it was wealth. It appeals in the business sense, but also it really is about a lifestyle of wealth. It's about a lifestyle of knowing that our God is for us and that he can take care of things. Like he can take care of our hearts. He can take care of our families. He can take care of our lives. He can take care of our finances. He can take care of our work. He can take care of all these situations. And it's this principle of just this lifestyle of living, you know, as a son or a daughter of the king. And that was part of that, you know, that it's not a phase because it's really just integrating a deeper connection to who Father God is as Father. But in that, those years of really him working in my heart to realize he's a good father and he wants to bless and open up, it just brought new life into me and allowed me to release that into others. As some will testify, I've changed over the years a little bit. In a good way. And so, all that to say, I believe that today, you know, some of what the Lord wants to do is he's releasing vision. He's refreshing vision. He's refreshing, you know, what God's put in our hearts and spoken, and to not lose those things that he's put in there that are from him. And to, as I did, even with that, you know, the clinic, I just put it before the Lord and said, here it is, Lord. If you want to do it, you breathe life on it. I wasn't trying to make it happen, but I was being obedient as he told me things to do. And I just believe that God wants to do that today to refresh vision, and I think he wants to remind us. I asked, I think, are they back here, Justin? Sweet. I asked Justin to get me some precious treasure from our parking lot, so we own it. So we're not stealing it. And these are just good old stones from the parking lot that we own. The Lord is blessed, as part of what God's done here. It's just amazing to see from the little tiny Bible study in 95 that it started to now, we own this building, this property, and the gravel in the parking lot. And so, but how God increases and expands the vision, and we're not done yet. God's expanding and growing, and as Meltari says, look at the size of your influence as being the size of your impact or the size of your congregation. It's not about, thousands are in your congregation. It's what you're doing. And so each of us, whether, people that are in a large church in this area or smaller church here, God is impacting. He wants to impact so much greater than what we could imagine. And so, I was just thinking over this year where just myself, I've had the privilege of being in three different countries already this year, out of the country for almost 8 weeks this year, seeing God move in Brazil, seeing God move in India where we have our children's home. We have a children's home in India. I mean, what in the world? I mean, who'd have thunk it? And God did, and God taking care of that. And then, being in Mozambique just, last week, getting back from Mozambique, and obviously Pastor Bill and Lawrence and Michelle and Tanya were in Indonesia and Singapore as well this year. And just seeing the expansion, it's just fun to see God's expansion, God's growth in that. So back to the stones of remembrance, what was on my heart was just for each of us to go before the Lord and just, let him speak to you about things of remembrance, things that God's planted in your heart, God's put in, dreams, visions, things of destiny to refresh. And then as the worship team, or some of them come, someone does something with music up here. Just so we do that to just get in the Lord's presence, soak before the Lord, let him just wash over you, speak to you. Maybe he'll put like a fresh thought or vision or dream into your heart and your head this morning. That's fine. He's allowed to do that. you take that to the Lord and just let him grow that, mature that, and reveal that. But I want each of us to take this, and whether you keep it just till you get to the parking lot, it's fine. There's plenty of gravel out there. It looks a lot like this. Or just put on the dash of your car, the dresser, whatever. But just as a sign of remembrance, God, through Joshua, said to the Israelites, take these stones, make the altar, and then I want you to show your children and your children's children and your children's children's children and just generations of just testifying of what's happened in the family. And, I know Andy shared different times about his grandfather and just that generational blessing of his grandfather planting churches over in Germany, and just how there's, a street named after him and all that because of the impact that he had. And he just went to go love on people and give away all their food when they had none and whatever. And yet through that, so many lives were touched. And now, Andy is going to the nations. Me, I was going to just be simple veterinarian, house, wife, kids, got all that. But on top of that, seeing the world, and here locally, seeing people, being touched through, whether it's summer celebration with our neighborhood kids that are coming again this year, it's, First Friday, all these different events, but just neat what God's doing. So I just encourage you, as you feel led, to come up and take a rock and just to think on it. Let him continue, stir that up through the week. I'm just going to pray here and allow them to do whatever they want to do. So, Lord, I just thank you for today. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're so good. I thank you that you're so good. You're such a good father. Such a good father. Lord, you know exactly where each one of us have been, and you know the destiny and the calling that you have on our lives, Lord. And Lord, you know that no matter where each of us is, that you want to bring us further into revelation of your kingdom, further into receiving your vision, Father, further into seeing your perspective on things, Father, that releases new life. Because you're all about abundant life. You're all about abundantly pardoning, abundantly forgiving. So if there's anyone who just feels like they've been far from you, Lord, anyone who feels like they're not good enough that to have these testimonies of your goodness and your faithfulness is just too far or too much. Lord, right now, just come in. Come in and touch their heart, Lord. Encourage them. Let them know that you come to seek and save that which is lost. That's why Jesus came, to seek and save that which is lost. And Lord, that you bring us into your presence, Lord. You want us to know you as good Father. You want us to know that we're sons and daughters in the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. And Father, that, Lord, where there's vision, Father, you just strengthen the vision that you've given us. Lord, continue to strengthen the vision you've given us corporately, Lord, in this body of Frontline Worship Center, Frontline Ministries, Lord, and just the massive, far-reaching, to the ends of the earth call that you've put on this body, this small body, but mighty in the Spirit. Lord, just the vision in our personal lives, Lord, where you say, seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Lord, you've been faithful in my life in that, and I know you've been faithful in each person here, that that's your desires. We seek you, that you will be faithful to take care of all of our needs, all that we need. You always have enough. So thank you for that, Lord. And so, Father, as people feel led to, you know, take these little rocks, Lord, the rocks don't mean anything, but it's really what you've done in our life, what you've called us to. That's what it means. That's what's going to last. Those things that are going to last beyond our lives to the generations, Father, that we want our lives to count, to make a difference in this world, Lord, that we can see more come into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. So as they just worship, again, just chill with the Lord, speak with him. Come up as you feel led to get a rock, or take a few if you feel you need a couple. You've got a couple things in your heart. There's plenty out there. We're going to be okay. But just to take that and remember it, think and reflect. In Philippians 4:8, it says, you know, whatever things are good and lovely and of good report and excellent and praiseworthy, you know, think on these things. So whenever you see this rock or just through the day, think on what the Lord has released. Think on the good things that he's released and watch him increase. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And as I said in John 10, verse 10, it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and that more abundantly. If you feel like you've been in that season where the thief's stealing and killing and destroying, let's step into the other season with the promise of God where he says he's going to come and bring abundant life. And if you want prayer, you know, I'd be glad to pray with you, or, you know, anyone up here at the front, my wife, or Cynthia or Lawrence, we'd be glad to pray with you and just agree with you. And that's the power of fellowship. That's the power of the body, is that we can come and come into agreement. And the Bible says that where two or three of you come together in my name, that I'm with you. But he also says that where two of you come together in agreement, that it will be done for you. But anything you ask for on earth, it will be done for you by your Father who is in heaven. So if you need agreement for anything, I'd be glad to pray with you.